Welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. Glad to be back with you. Happy New Year. This is going to be the best year of your life. I'm glad to be back in class with you. Tonight, or this afternoon, or whenever you're watching, I want to start off in Chapter 5. The title of Chapter 5 is People Connectivity. Now, this is important because in this chapter, there are three different aspects that we have to pull together. One is the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. We must pull all three of those together in order for the body of Christ to function properly. If you would, turn with me to Genesis, the 11th chapter, going to a very familiar scripture, passage of scripture, and we'll read a little bit. Then I'll explain to you the importance of the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. Because of those three things, the church will be able to execute what she was designed to execute or bring to pass or bring to fruition. You know, the church has always been positioned and empowered, authorized to establish the kingdom of God or to establish God's ways of doing things. But if we don't have amongst ourselves the power of communication, strategy, and purpose, then everybody would have their own idea of what's to be done. And once everybody have their own idea of what's to be done, then synergy cannot take place. Synonymous energy. Momentum can be built. When momentum can be built, then the enemy can gain a foothold in the earth realm and try to overtake it. So we, the church, have to have what's called rules of engagement, rules that we abide by, not rules of control. Notice there's a difference. I didn't say rules of control, but rules of engagement. Rules of how we're going to interact with each other. Rules of how we're going to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish as a family, as a body, and as individuals. There are rules that we must follow, not rules of control. Denominations come up with rules of control. Why denominations come up with rules of control? Exactly, so they can control. But in the kingdom, they're not rules of control, they're rules of engagement. I'll give you an example of a rule of engagement. Very familiar rule of engagement. When God created Adam and Eve, he created the garden, and he created Adam and Eve. And he told Adam and Eve, you can eat off of any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's the difference between a rule of control and a rule of engagement. I'm just getting this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I don't want you to ever think that when your leader creates accountability, that is trying to control, because all you can simply do is say you don't want to do it. And when you don't want to do it, you are saying you don't want to engage. So if you don't want to engage, that's your choice. But it's not about control. Here's the difference between the rule of control and the rule of engagement. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil being placed in the center of the garden was to give people, give Adam and Eve a choice, because where there's no choice, there's only control. So God said, you can eat off any tree in the garden, but this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat from it, because when you eat from it, you're going to surely die. That was a rule of engagement. God was saying, if you want to keep our relationship intact, if you want us to keep engaging, here's a rule you have to abide by. And the rule, now let me tell you the reason. See, there's never should exist a rule of engagement without a purpose, without a reasoning. The rule of engagement for Adam and Eve not touching the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is so that God himself can walk them protected through evil thought processes. Notice what I said. So that God himself, because you got to remember now, once again, we've talked about this before. Remember, the Garden of Eden was a training ground The Garden of Eden was a specific place in earth. It wasn't didn't cover the whole earth. It was a specific place in earth that God created so that he can train Adam and Eve so that when he released them into the out of darkness trained, they were able to recreate the Garden of Eden. That's why he said, be fruitful and multiply. Wasn't talking about just having children. It was talking about what you see here, you're going to be able to do. Are you seeing this? So that rule of engagement, God said, if you want to keep our relationship intact and our fellowship intact, you can't eat off this tree. But the tree had to be there to give Adam and Eve a choice, because without choice, there's what? Control. So God deals with rules of engagement, not rules of control. See, denominations have rules of control. You can do this. You can't do this. You do this, not to do this. That's not what this is about. This is about, in covenant, it's all about rules of engagement. Without rules of engagement, there can be no power. There can be no powerful communication. Without rules of engagement, there can be no powerful strategy. Without the rules of engagement, there can be no powerful purpose. Without powerful communication, without powerful strategy, without powerful purpose, there can be no synergy. Synonymous energy. Without synonymous energy, things won't get done. So that was an example of a rule of engagement. The very first, you can't eat off the tree. Now, guess what? It wasn't a rule of control. We know it wasn't a rule of control. How we know it wasn't a rule of control? We know it wasn't a rule of control because Adam and Eve ate off the tree. So they had a choice. But once they decided what they wanted to do, once they decided to break the rules of engagement, then God had to enforce the rules of engagement. That's why they were put out of the Garden of Eden. Because God said they can't stay here having access to this tree of knowledge of good and evil and live forever in the condition that they're in. So that was an example of the rule of engagement. So we must have rules of engagement. In your church, your leader must establish rules of engagement. Without rules of engagement, there'll be no powerful, again, be no powerful communication, be no powerful strategy, there'll be no powerful purpose. And you want all those things operating in your life. So here we are. By now you should have gotten to Genesis, the 11th chapter. Let's look at the first verse, because the first verse is important. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That is important. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us go make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing shall be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down. And therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from this upon the face of all the earth. And they left off the city, off to build the city. Now, go back to the first verse, because out of this, it's the first instance that we see synergy trying to take place. Now, watch how powerful synergy is. Watch how powerful synergy is. Watch how powerful communication is. They were all of one language and of one speech. I love the author. The author went, dug this up and put in a literal translation. The literal translation said, the whole earth used different language as one language, and they used different words as the same word. So in other words, they were able to speak different dialects and understand each other. The only reason why that happened is because of God giving them the spirit of understanding. Giving them the spirit of understanding. See, the powerful thing about communication is when we understand what another person is saying. We understand the essence. We understand the reasoning. See, we can communicate with each other, but if we don't understand what each other are saying, then it'll be very hard for us to get on the same page. So there must be a spirit of understanding. See, when these people got together to establish this tower and to build this tower, they had, watch this, they had the power of communication on their side. We're going to get to it. They had the power of strategy and they had the power of purpose. But the only problem is they didn't have the power of God or the agenda of God in mind. So in this power of communication, I want you to turn me to Matthew's 13th chapter. Turn me to Matthew's 13th chapter. Matthew's 13th chapter. And the 14th verse. It says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them." This is Jesus talking. Jesus was just making reference to what happened in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Isaiah started off first making reference, but Jesus followed up his reference. Because when God had to come down to confuse their language, which means they still spoke different dialects, but they no longer could understand each other because it wasn't about God's agenda. The whole thing allowing us to be empowered, grace, mercy, faith, love, all of it works on accomplishing the agenda of God. Without God's agenda being the main focus, all those are irrelevant and they will not work for us. So we see here that they saw, they heard, but couldn't understand. They see, but can't perceive. See, that is where the body of Christ is. They hear the word of God, but don't understand it. Or they hear God's agenda, but don't understand it. Why did you say that? For this people's heart is waxed gross. It's so much covering their heart, their mind, covering. They're anxious about so many other things that they can't really see and understand what God is trying to do with them. Now, it's not the people's fault. This is why we have this training center. This is why we're talking about the apostolic. This is why we put so much emphasis on the apostle. It's because people under the pastoral model have been trained to focus on their agenda. Has been taught to focus. So when you focus on your agenda and not the agenda of God, confusion sets in, confusion sets in. We don't understand what each other is saying because everybody has their own agenda. There's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians that's very important. You know, we need God to open up this spirit of understanding so that we can understand what he wants. And then we can understand how to cooperate with each other and communicate with each other to get it done. Only God can do this. How is God? Because God is the one that took it away and is protected. The spirit of understanding is protected by his agenda. If you're not willing to attach yourself to his agenda, then you don't need to understand nothing. God is not going to open up his treasure to a people whose hearts are waxed gross, or just covered with, or just encumbered by a whole bunch of other stuff, but other than what he wants. Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed a prayer that's very powerful, and a lot of times people misquote this scripture, misquote this prayer. Ephesians the first chapter. Go there for me. Ephesians the first chapter and the 17th verse. Now, we're going to read this slowly because if you read it fast, you'll miss some things that God want to say and show us. Some things that's very plain to see, but because we read it and we assume, because if we read this through a pastoral model, we're going to make it personal. But when you read it from an apostolic point of view, an apostolic model, you're going to see the scripture is not really talking about us. We're only vessels. You see what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul, let me start at the 16th verse. He said, let's start at 15th verse. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all saints, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so he's saying he's praying for the church of Ephesians. This is in the church of Ephesus. This is what he's praying. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, or the Father of success. Get that now. That's the glory. The Father of success. Watch what he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Excuse me. In the knowledge of who? Him. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Remember we talked about the spirit of understanding being released into the body of Christ. What that spirit of understanding is supposed to do? Give us the power to communicate. Give us the ability to be on the same page when we're discussing what God wants. Being on the same, listen, we may even be in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, but when the spirit of understanding is released and God gives us instructions, we're able to do things that will bring the body of Christ together. Talking about the power of communication. He said that the eyes of your understanding, making sure that you understand what God really wants, that it be enlightened. Why? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Now let's pause there for a moment. The eyes of your understanding is to be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So the spirit of understanding is not necessary to you or useful to you until you understand the hope of his calling. Or let's say it like this way. Hope, the blueprint of his calling. The reason why he called, the future goal of his calling, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is this key now, and what the riches of the success of his inheritance in you. So the Apostle Paul is praying this prayer so that we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, things can be revealed. We'll be able to have revealed knowledge, not only revealed knowledge, but we'll be able to apply that revealed knowledge. That's what the spirit of wisdom is about. The spirit of wisdom helps us to apply the revelation, the revealed knowledge that we get, right? So that why? So that the eyes of our understanding, or we will fully grasp what God wants with us, what God wants with me, what God wants with you, and what are the results of us understanding that. That's the riches of his glory, the riches of the glory, the riches of his success. Remember now, I said the Father, we said it, read it earlier. He's the Father of glory. So the Father of glory birthed children of glory so he can receive glory. So the Father of success birthed children of success so that he can receive success in the earth realm. So without us having our attention on his success, we will not access his glory. Oh, man. So this is a prayer that I pray consistently. This is a prayer that you need to pray consistently. There's two prayers, actually. This prayer, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. You can go to 19, 20 and 21. But definitely 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, make it personal, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of, watch this, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me? Make it personal. Second prayer you ought to pray. This is powerful. Second prayer that you ought to be praying. Go with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Now, how I know you ought to be praying this prayer? Because Jesus said we ought to be praying this prayer. Praise God. So these two prayers I pray consistently in my life. To be honest, if I do ask God for something, put it like this. I don't ever ask God for anything personal. I ain't ask God for no house. Oh, I know I'm about to 3-foot loop. I know I am. I don't ask God for no car. I don't ask God for no money. I don't ask God for anything to personally enhance my life. Let me let that sink in. I don't ask God for no money. I don't ask God for no car. I don't ask God for no house. I don't ask God for nothing. I don't ask God for clothes. I don't ask God for jewelry. I don't ask God for none of that stuff. I simply ask God for his will. And I only ask God for his will for my life. I ask God for his will. This is why the Apostle Paul prayed that prayer, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him gives us what to do and how to do it. Our eyes being enlightened gives us the ability to grab the magnitude of why he's telling us what to do. See, without that spirit of understanding, without the spirit of understanding, we will never be able to latch on to God's agenda, because it'll never be important to us, because we'll always be inundated with our own struggles, our own concerns. But when you allow God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, you will be able to grasp. You will be able to hold on. You'll be able to entrench into what God wants to do with you. Now, the second prayer, because the reason why I don't ask God for nothing personal is because I couldn't find him. I couldn't find Jesus doing it. You could never find Jesus asking God for nothing personal. But yet, he had every need met. You could never see Jesus ask for anything personal, but you see all his needs met. How many? Jesus fed 5,000. Are you kidding me? Peter said, Jesus, we need to pay taxes. Jesus said, now mind you, Jesus had a treasury because he had a treasurer. So he could have easily gone and got the money out of his pockets. But to show Peter how this thing works, he told Peter, go down to the sea and catch the first fish you catch, get the money out of his mouth and go pay our taxes. Man, Jesus, the very first miracle Jesus performed, was eliminating poverty, getting rid of lack, turning water into wine. And then, not only did he turn water into wine, the person who threw the party thought they had saved the best wine for last. Now, wine has a sit a while, has a ferment. And the older wine gets, supposedly the better it gets. So Jesus was able to give it an aged touch just by speaking. So Jesus never lacked anything. So that he never had to ask for anything personal. I hope you're catching on to this. Because, thank you. Yes, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to run a If I haven't done it yet, I'm gonna go back and look. I don't remember if I've done this yet. Run a reference on ask, because everywhere you see the word ask in the New Testament, it's making reference to God's will. It's making reference to God's will, because I'm according to Matthew 6:33. Turn now. I'm gonna come back to verse 9. Go to verse 33. What does verse 33 says? You know what it says. Very familiar scripture. It says, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at verse 34. 34 says, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts of things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go back to verse 9. So the reason why you're not going to find Jesus ask for anything personal in this particular, in this passage, is because he believed 33. See, Jesus say, after this manner, therefore pray ye. So this is a skeleton example of a prayer we're supposed to pray. He give us the basics of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now listen to this. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus, not one time in this prayer, remember the disciples asked him to teach him how to pray. Never one time did Jesus in this prayer ask for one thing personal. So you have Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, and you have Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Notice in that 13 verse, in that latter part of that 13 verse, he said, for thine is the kingdom. Other words, Jesus saying, for my focus is on your kingdom, your power, and your glory. Forever. Amen. My focus. So my focus is not to get your kingdom work on my behalf, not your power to work on my behalf, not to get your glory, but it's for you to have, for your kingdom to come to pass, for your power to be used for your benefit, God, and for you to get all the glory. Because when that happens, Matthew 6:33 is, the things I've achieved in my life personally, I haven't asked God for that. The stuff I've attained, I haven't asked God for that stuff. House being paid off, didn't ask God for it. It happened. The cars I paid for, didn't ask for it. God brought them. Because my whole objective is to focus on what God wants. So by being able to pray these prayers, I'm able to communicate with like-minded people. So therefore, I don't have to worry about what nobody else getting. I don't worry about when people I cooperate with have more than what I got. I'm not even concerned when people I cooperate with have less than what I've got, because I know that everything I got came from him. I know everything that our people I cooperate with in the kingdom that they got came from him. So if I want something similar to what they have, I don't envy it. I don't get jealous. I know where it came from. Oh, man, I hope y'all hear this. So therefore, I don't have to stop doing God's work, stop focusing on God's agenda to focus on my agenda. Because God plainly said, when I focus on him, he'll focus on me. So with this power of communication, only God can give us the spirit of understanding to where people who speak different dialects, when I mean I speak different, we have different backgrounds. We come from different walks of life. It takes the spirit of understanding for us to come together in the power of communication so that we can get on the same page, so that we can adhere to these rules of engagement. So next class, when we come together, we're going to talk about the power of strategy. You don't want to miss that one. The power of strategy, and hopefully I'll be able to get through that class on the power of strategy, and we'll go to the next class on the power of purpose. These are very important that we get these down, because as we get through start getting to chapter 6, talking about the power of covenant, we'll get to talk about some stuff. And if you don't have these three things down, is going to be troublesome to you, because the power of covenant, the sixth chapter is going to throw your religion under a bus and run over it, back up, run over it again, back up and run over it again. But I bless you tonight. So remember, pray those two prayers, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Start making it a part of your daily routine. If not daily, every other day. If not daily, weekly. It needs to be consistent, because you want the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the knowledge of God. You want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you may know what is the purpose of his calling. See, without knowing the purpose of his calling, it's hard to communicate with others who know his purpose. And you want to know God, our Father, who art in heaven, thy will be done. God, give me this day my daily bread. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. God, I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're thinking. Help me understand this so I can communicate and understand when I'm communicated to, when your agenda shows up. So I bless you tonight. Remember those two prayers, Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18, and Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. I bless you. I'll see you next class.